All right, so we're going to be in Ezekiel, back in Ezekiel this morning. Ezekiel chapter 3, we'll be starting in verse 12. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we are so grateful and thankful to you for your love, for your goodness. The way that you have given us your word. Lord, you've given us your word for many, many reasons. You love us. You also desire that we know about you. You want us to be filled with your joy and your peace and know how to live this life that we have before us. Lord, you've given us direction and leading in your word. And this morning, Lord, we ask for understanding by your Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Spirit, that you will give us understanding of what the passage that we're going to be looking at this morning. And we pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. I've entitled this morning, God's Watchman. This is not planned. except for, well, it is planned, not by me. I'll put it that way. This message is not planned. Was not planned by me. It just so happens to come, I think, at a very crucial time. And as we go through this passage this morning, I was really blessed as I began to study this morning. Sometimes I kind of have doubted in the past. I remember going through Isaiah and getting to some chapters in Isaiah where, you know, it's basically God saying what he's going to do to, you know, all these nations that have come against Israel. And the whole chapter is kind of about that. And I would kind of start off looking at that chapter going, okay, Lord, I realize I could definitely, we can all get something out of this, but where, you know, I'm kind of like, what area can this, how can this apply? And by the time I got done studying, I mean, every single chapter, there was something that God showed us. And in fact, what I realized, every single chapter of Isaiah has something to say about Yeshua, the Messiah. So the Messiah is in every chapter. You know, not just in Isaiah 53. He's in every chapter of Isaiah. And I believe that's true with the Lord, with his word. Every part of his word, the begats might be stretching it just a little bit. If you know what I mean about the begats, you know, the First and Second Chronicles, I don't know where it says so-and-so begat so-and-so. But even there, if we look and if we trust the Lord, we can get something out of that as well. But everything he has for our good, for us to learn, to grow, learn from the examples of those in the past, both the good and the bad. Today, as I was looking through this, I kind of started off kind of having that, not attitude, but kind of going, okay, Lord, what are you going to show us in this? And I was incredibly blessed. So let's look at Ezekiel 3, starting in verse 12. Then the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard behind me a great thunderous voice saying, blessed is the glory of the Lord from his place. I also heard the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels beside them, and a great thunderous voice. So you have this word picture, this phrase, I guess you could say, that Ezekiel uses. The Spirit lifted me up. And this could be in his vision only, or it could be literal. We are not told. We're not told. A lot of people say, oh, well, of course, it's just in his vision where he's not really physically getting lifted up. Well, I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. I'm not going to argue with you about it. Could be either one. Paul actually, Rav Shaul in 2 Corinthians 12, 2 through 4 says this. He says, I know a man in Messiah who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know, God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. He was caught up into paradise and he heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. And, you know, this is Paul talking about one of the, or Ralph Shaul talking about one of the believers in the early church, in the early congregation, who had been caught up in this vision with the Lord. And, you know, Ralph Shaul says right here, he's like, it might have been literal. It might have been only in his spirit. I don't know. Only God knows, you know. And it's the same thing with Ezekiel. In some places, it clearly says, I saw a vision. This place, it you'll see in a few minutes, or as we go through this, it doesn't necessarily say that. It could have been a vision. It could also be the Spirit actually lifting him up, because the Spirit actually, it says, sets him down later on by the river Kavar. So that would kind of give an indication that somehow the Spirit literally lifted him and placed him somewhere. Won't be the first time that that's happened, or the last time, first or last time, that that's happened in Scripture. You know, you have Enoch who was not. God took him. He was not. He never came back. You know, he was just gone, you know. You have Elijah that was taken up in the chariot, you know, taken up to the Lord. Also gone, didn't come back. You have Philip who was taken up, moved to a location, moved to another location. God, the Holy Spirit moved him wherever he wanted. We even have today, it's probably on the level of how freaked out would you be if it happened to you, because I'm not sure I could survive. But there are some stories today of people who have experienced those things, even today in this, you know, in our world today, that have actually been put different places to accomplish things for the Lord. I can't say, just like Ralph Shaul here said, he says, I don't know, only God knows. It's not something we need to be arguing over. That's his point. His point is, it happens, and Ralph Shaul was going on to make another point there. But here we see Ezekiel has this either visual vision or literal, or both together, and he's hearing this great thunderous voice. And the voice says, blessed is the glory of the Lord from his place. And that word for blessed, it's baruch, means to kneel, or by implication, to bless God, is the glory. The word glory actually means weight, like a heavy weight, a splendor. It means glory as we see it too, with bright glory and all of that too. But I love that where it actually means weight. When you feel the glory of the Lord, it brings, it has weight to it. It's not just, oh, you know, oh, it's so wonderful, everything's perfect. No, it has weight that causes us to fall on our face before him. That kind of weight. We're not talking about heavy, you know, whatever, but we're talking about a weight from the Holy Spirit, from the Spirit that causes us to be diminished. Him to be glorified. You know, when we are in his presence, we can't help. Really in his presence, we can't help but kneel before him, because he is worthy of all glory, all praise. And it says, blessed is the glory of the Lord from his place, the place where he stands, the place where he dwells. In this particular case, there is an aspect. I mean, we understand the Lord covers the earth. He fills the earth. But there is a specific place, his throne room, that we can say that is the place of the Lord. That is a place that is only his. And he dwells there. And yes, there was a physical tabernacle and there was a physical temple, and God limited himself to dwell among his people because he loved them, and he limits himself to dwell in us because he loves us. Okay, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. But there's a sacred place. It's not inside of me. It's not inside of you. It's where only God dwells. It's where God the Father is. Okay, now you and I can go there in our spirits. Okay, and Ezekiel, we see him. He is in that presence of the Lord, and he hears this voice from he doesn't know where, but probably maybe one of the angels. It doesn't say, blessed is the glory of the Lord, the weight of the Lord, the gloriness, the shining of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, whatever you want to call that. Well, it's not whatever, it's what it says here. The weight of the Lord in His place. His place. As I said, there's a place that is only His. Only His. Okay, so we have this once again. He is experiencing this presence of the Lord. He has just been given a mission. He has just been given a task. He's been told by the Lord last few weeks ago when we talked that the Lord said to Ezekiel, I want you to go and talk to a people, but they are a people who are rebellious. They're not going to listen to you. But Ezekiel, I'm going to set your face like flint, and you're going to be able to share my word with them no matter what. You'll still be able to share my word. And he prepares Ezekiel for this task. But it's very interesting if we look at the next few scriptures, Ezekiel 3, 14 through 15. It says, so the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness and in the heat of my spirit. But the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Then I came to the captives at Tel Abib. Actually, quite interesting, that would be Tel Aviv, even though it's not where Tel Aviv is today. This is a Tel Aviv that is in near Babylon, I guess you could say, near the river Kabar. But I went to, then I came to the captives at Tel Abib who dwelt by the river Kabar, and I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days. So this experience that Ezekiel had with the presence of the Lord, he went away, it says, I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. And then he goes and he is sitting with the other captives, astonished, just sitting there for 7 days. We don't know what that looks like if he just didn't say anything. For 7 days, just sat there, processing everything the Lord had told him, the visions that he had received from the Lord. You know, there's value in us not just running off when we think we hear something from the Lord. There's value in not just running off and spouting it out and maybe adding some of our own stuff to it. We need to process it. We need to let the Lord let that go deep into our hearts so we know what He is trying to say through there. And it's very interesting because let's look at Ezekiel's emotional state after this. Now, you think after having a vision of the Lord in His glory, in all of this, okay, he would be like, wow, this is so awesome. I had a vision. But no, that's not what we see. We see bitterness. And that word really is bitterness. It's anger, discontentment. And it's great, and it was heavy upon him. And it says he had, in the Hebrew, it actually says he had an angry spirit. Anger was bottled up, hot displeasure within him. A very important point that I think we need to understand as we look at this. First point, when you spend time with the Lord, don't base your time with the Lord on whether you come away feeling all happy or not. Because that may not be the purpose that the Lord wanted to spend time with you. You may come away not so happy. You may come away with some real stuff that needs to be worked through. That could be part of it. We have this idea that, well, if I have any type of frustration or anger within me, then I must not have been spending time with the Lord right. Well, maybe we heard from the Lord exactly what we needed to hear, which caused that. And so maybe there's things in us that need to be let out. But there's another thing. Here with Ezekiel, I don't think it's really so much that. Ezekiel was righteous before the Lord. The Lord had chosen him. But the problem is Ezekiel had taken this burden. Instead of it being the Lord's, he had started to take it upon himself. Now, this is something I want us all to really listen to. Because I think the church, when I say the church, the body of Messiah has been doing this for a while in our country. We hear things that we believe come from God, and they may or may not. I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there that, you know, I'm just kind of like, okay, I don't think the Holy Spirit would even say that. Okay, so I don't think that came from the Lord. But then there are things out there that I believe really come from the Lord. And we understand, we know the way our country is going. We deserve judgment. Okay, we always deserve judgment, though. Even if we were the most praying, on our knees people, we'd still deserve judgment. We are sinners, saved by His grace, not by what we do. But our country, we understand, we deserve judgment. We feel that. And maybe we hear something from the Lord, a prophet or somebody hears something from the Lord, and we hear that God is going to judge, okay? God had given Ezekiel a message of warning to his people. Here's the problem. How should you and I respond when God reveals his anger at the wicked to us? How should you and I respond when God reveals his anger? And I believe that's what was happening here. God had revealed his anger. He had revealed to Ezekiel how he felt about what his people were doing. First of all, number one, we need to realize that he has a right to be angry. We do not. He has a right to be angry. We do not. I thought I'd get about that response. That's good. I'm going to say it again. He has the right to be angry. We do not. We are not God. I am not perfect. I am not the one who is righteous. He is the one who is righteous. That he reveals something to me does not mean I should take on that same anger and that bitterness. God has a right to be angry. Let's look at what it says in Luke chapter 18, 7 through 8. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. This is Yeshua talking. Nevertheless, here's the question. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? I'm going to repeat that. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? The question that Yeshua is asking, he's saying, first of all, God will avenge his elect. He will avenge his people. You and I don't have to worry about that happening. It's going to happen. However, Yeshua asks the question, when he returns, is he even going to find faith amongst those who call themselves his? Are we going to be trusting him? Are we faithful to him? See, the first thing we need to look at when God says, I'm going to bring wrath, is we need to humble ourselves and look at our own hearts and say, where am I with the Lord? Am I ready? Instead of getting a judgmental attitude about everyone out there and saying they need to get their act together. No, I need to make sure I'm right with the Lord. And once I'm right with the Lord, it's not going to manifest itself in a prideful, arrogant attitude that says, God, strike them down. If you and I are right with the Lord, we're going to be on our knees saying, Lord, have mercy. Lord, save, save. Don't judge. Because there's so many that don't know you yet. Lord, have compassion on them. Lord, forgive them. Lord, that their hearts will change and they will come back to you. That's what our position should be. Not a position of anger. Not a position of, there, God, strike them down. No, Lord, have mercy. Save them. Bring them to yourself. That is what we are called to do. And that's the problem. Ezekiel, as wonderful as a person that he was, had taken on what he had heard from the Lord, and it had become his. And he'd been like, oh, that's right. And they need to. And he had gotten angry. How can my people be not listening to God? And you'll see in a few minutes that God sets him straight on that. Because he tells Ezekiel what his focus needs to be. So first of all, we need to realize that God has a right to be angry. We do not. It is God's responsibility to carry out his wrath, not ours. Romans 12, 19 through 21. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Once again, we are not the ones that administer his wrath. He can handle that on his own. He does not need our help. Our responsibility is to obey him and to speak his truth. Our responsibility is to be obedient to him ourselves and to speak his word. Now, that word might be a word of warning, but it's not me warning everybody. It's not my wrath. It's not my, I'm so righteous and everyone else is so horrible that I need to, you know. No, I don't have a right to be that way. But I do have a responsibility to warn. To warn the wicked. To warn myself. To warn other believers. We have that responsibility. And we're going to see that right here. Now it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. So after this time of processing, and I think the Lord knew Ezekiel needed that time. He needed to decompress. He needed that time to think through everything. The Lord comes to him again and he says, Ezekiel, I've made you a watchman. Let's read what a watchman is supposed to do. Those who lean forward to peer into the distance by implication, to observe, to await, to behold, to espy, to look up, to wait for, to keep the watch. This whole aspect of watchman applies to so many different things. You have that idea of leaning forward, looking over to see what's ahead or what's below, leaning forward in the sense if you're in a ship with fog, you're the one out front leaning forward, watching. Okay, are we going to hit rocks up ahead? What's happening? You know, it's also the one who at night stays awake while everybody else is sleeping and is ready to ring the bell, ring the alarm when there's an enemy approaching. And so the Lord told Ezekiel, I've made you a watchman. You're a watchman to my people. I'm going to be sharing things with you that you need to share with them. However, once again, like I said, Ezekiel understood that it was not his words, it was God's words. It's not his prophecy, it's God's. I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. We need to know our audience and our calling. I believe every single one of us on some level are watchmen. God has called all of us to be watchmen in this time. But we need to know the audience that God has called us to. God did not call Ezekiel to Nineveh. He called Jonah to Nineveh, right? Didn't call Ezekiel to Nineveh. He called Ezekiel to Israel. He called Ezekiel to be a watchman for his people. Some are called to be a watchman for the church. Others are called to bring warning of wrath to come to those who are outside the body. But we need to know our audience. We need to know our calling. Now, sometimes we run into trouble there because we want that calling or this calling. We want somebody else's calling. We don't want the one that God gave us. But let me say this. You and I are not fulfilled unless we are operating in the calling that God has called us to. We are not fulfilled. You may think something else is better, but you will pursue that, and you'll keep pursuing it, and you'll never get satisfied. But when we say, Lord, I'm content with what you have for me, what you're calling, You know what I found when we do that? You know what happens when we're faithful in the little things? He expands. He expands it. He expands the tents. The tent pegs get expanded. We have more of a calling. And that should not be the motivation, but it's a kingdom, I guess you could say, principle. That when you're faithful in little things, God gives you more. And what are we supposed to do with the more? Not hoard it. Not go, aha, I got what I wanted. Okay, I'm out of here now. No. Be faithful in the more, and God gives you more. And more as he finds faithful servants who will speak his word and not do their own thing. And that's the problem. There's people that will be that faithfully speak his word for a while, and then they get prideful, and then they get arrogant, and then stuff starts coming in, and they're like, oh, well, I'm okay now. I'm good. I can just keep doing this. I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable in this. But we have a calling. We have a calling. Each one of us has a calling from the Lord. And that's what we need to be pursuing. And say, Lord, what do you have for me? What is your calling for me? And I want to do it with all my heart. I want to do it right. For the house of the audience was the house of Israel. And he goes on, hear the word from my mouth. And this word, once again, is Shema. We've said this many times. It is the word that means hear with the intent to obey. So we also need to be Ruach HaKodesh led. So hear from the word of my mouth. So the Lord is telling Ezekiel, I'm going to lead you. You need to hear my words. The word from my mouth. It's not going to be your mouth speaking, Ezekiel. I'm going to be speaking through you. See, this is the problem many times is, and this has happened to me, it's happened to all of us. Maybe God gives us something, but then we add all of our other stuff to it as well. We add to what he's saying. He doesn't need us to add to what he's saying. He just needs us to speak his word. It's his word that brings true change and transformation. You know, I can talk to somebody in my office for an hour, 2 hours, and I can come up with a lot of really good ideas and psychological stuff and even scriptural, religious stuff. But if the Holy Spirit isn't speaking through me, it's going to have very little benefit. Oh, it might be a few things I might be able to take away from it. But I've also watched those times when the Holy Spirit takes over and I don't even have to say three or four things. Sometimes I don't have to say anything. The Holy Spirit just takes over. And that person goes out different than when they came in. And I'm going, I didn't do anything. I was just there. I was just a watchman. I just spoke the words that he gave me. That is what the Lord wants us to do. Not do our own thing. Not impress people with our knowledge. Not accomplish, you know, these great tasks for him that he hasn't asked us to do. Do what he tells us to do. Speak his word. That is what is life-changing. That is what will bring fruit. Everything else is worthless. Worthless. I know we don't like to be told that. I don't like to be told that all my Babel is worthless, but it is. Apart from the Holy Spirit, it is worthless. And so the Lord's telling him, I've made you a watchman. Also, give them warning, is what he says. Give them warning for me. Speak only what the Lord says, his word, with as little embellishment as possible. There's going to be some. The Lord understands that. He's working through these clay things, okay? These clay bodies. He's working through us. He's working through our tongue, through our mind. There's going to be some embellishment. There almost can't be. There's going to be a way that it's expressed. That the Lord understands that. He chooses us specifically for a calling to a specific audience. Why? Because he's prepared us. Specifically for them. And part of that is all of the influences that have happened in our life. It prepares you. It prepares me. Ezekiel was prepared before he even got to that place. He was trained as a priest. He was starting his priestly ministry with no temple to serve in. Had to be a bummer. Gone through all the training. It's kind of how I felt about football in high school. I went through spring training, and I didn't even get to play in the season. It's like, what's the point of that? The hardest part is spring training. I went through the hardest part only to not get to play in the fun part, in the season. Have you ever felt like that in serving the Lord? Lord, I went through all of this, and now look what I'm doing. What was all that training for? You know what? It'll happen. The training is there for a reason. Look at Moses, 40 years in Pharaoh's court, getting all that training. Oh, he was ready when he got done. He's like, I'm ready now. I'm ready to deliver my people. And the Lord's like, yeah, but you're not ready to deliver my people. See the difference? I'm ready to deliver my people. Yeah, but you're not ready to deliver my people. You need 40 years more training with sheep because my people are kind of, never mind. Well, he says it, right? All we like sheep have gone astray. So you need some training with sheep before you're ready to deliver my people. Remember what he told Joshua when Joshua shows up. Well, whose side are you on? Are you on our side or are you on their side? I'm on neither side, Joshua, but you better be on my side. Whose side are you on, Joshua? That's the question the Lord asked us. What, is this Sam's army? Is this Sam's congregation? Is this Sam's people? No! It's the Lord's people! You have to understand that. We have to understand our audience. They're not our people. They belong to the Lord. They need to hear His word, not our word. Ezekiel was getting all upset and angry and getting ready to get out there. And the Lord's like, you need to chill. Sit there for 7 days. Just hang out there. We'll talk at the end of 7 days. 7 days? Might have been under a sukkah. Who knows? Sukkot. Could have been. Could have been Passover. I don't know. But he sat there and waited. And then the Lord said, you're my watchman. Now, Ezekiel, now you're ready to hear what I want to tell you. You're going to be speaking my words to my people. And here's the part that scares the hell, it's in the Bible, out of me, and should out of you too. This next verse. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give them no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way. The purpose, to save his life. That same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Before we get to the whole saved or unsaved, that's not what this has anything to do with, okay? Let's not even go there. Let's hear what the Lord is saying to Ezekiel. The responsibility of the watchman to the wicked is huge. First of all, it's to warn them. That word is to gleam, to enlighten, to admonish, to shine, to teach, to give warning. Now, let me ask you a question. I don't really think we have too many people doing this. It might be good if we had a few more. There'd be a lot more discussion. But it still wouldn't be right. Notice that word, warn. That warn is not offend so that they never talk to you again. You're going to hell if you don't blah, 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 blah. People don't do that so much anymore. It's not to offend. The warning may offend them, but we're not supposed to be offensive in the warning. That makes sense? The warning may offend, but we are not to be offensive in the warning. Look at that word, to gleam, to enlighten, to admonish, to shine, to teach. They don't have to listen, but we have to tell them. Classic case of this happening a few months ago, maybe over a year ago now, I don't know, a friend of mine asked me point blank, if you're saying that if I as a Jew don't ask Yeshua to be my Savior, that I'm going to hell. It's a point blank question. And I had to say, yes. If you persist in unbelief, even as a Jew, if you do not receive the Messiah and the free gift of salvation, according to Scripture, according to what the Word of God says, according to Rabbi Paul and Yeshua, you will not be able to enter into life eternal. You will not be able to be with Him for all eternity. You will be in hell. He got offended by that. But that wasn't my fault. I wasn't being offensive in any way. In fact, I even told him, I said, I don't even like to have to tell you that. It hurts me to tell you that because we're friends. I like you. But it's the truth. I have to tell you the truth. In fact, what kind of friend would I be if I didn't tell you the truth? It may cost you friendships. Actually, I will say it will cost you friendships. In this case, we've continued to be friends. But it will cost you friendships. It will cost you problems in your family. It will cost you a job, potentially. It may even cost us our life one of these days. But we, as warners, as watchmen, have to speak the truth of God's word. As the Spirit gives us direction and leading. That's the other side to it. I'm in awe of people who go and stand on soapboxes and preach on street corners. I think that's wonderful. I've done it actually a few times. Not quite preached, but I've done a lot of, you know, talking to people in parks and sharing my faith. I've done that quite a bit. That is, yes, sometimes what we need to be doing, but not all the time. But where has God placed you? Who is your audience? At your job, your family, wherever you might be. Who is your audience? Those are the ones that we need to speak the clear truth of God to. And then trust God for the outcome. And what does it say? It says the consequence. The consequence of not warning them is they will die in their iniquity. That is not my fault. It is if I don't warn them, though, you know. But the consequence is they will still die in their iniquity. But the consequence of not warning, the consequence of not warning is God will, His blood will I require at your hand. Does that scare you or not? It scares me that if I shut my mouth because I'm too ashamed to talk about Yeshua, to somebody, too ashamed to talk and tell them the truth, that God's going to hold me responsible because I had the opportunity and I shut my mouth. It doesn't say I will lose my salvation. But yes, my soul will definitely be affected by that. It says, his blood I will require at your hand. That scares me. That's the weight that he put on Ezekiel. Notice what he's saying to Ezekiel. Ezekiel, you can be angry and mad and upset and all these things. He's like, but that's not the point, Ezekiel. You need to be my watchman. You need to share my word, not your own word, not your own anger, not out of your own anger. And let me give a warning to the church right now in a very crucial time for us to remember this. Whatever happens on Tuesday, it's not about us. It's not about our anger. It's not about how we feel. We need to give it to the Lord. Either way, we need to be trusting the Lord. We are watchmen to speak his word, not the words of a political party, not the words of the news, not the words of our own feelings about all of this and how dare these people, blah, blah, blah. I got feelings, you got feelings, I could tell you all sorts of stuff the way I feel about things. And I have to give it to the Lord all the time. And some of you might be really surprised by some of my feelings. Some of you wouldn't be. As you know, I tell my wife lots of things. She knows lots of things about me. But my feelings and my thoughts on all of this are irrelevant because I'm a watchman for the Lord. And so are you. When we made that decision, Mikey, I'm sorry, I get worked up, and you know. When we made that decision to trust in the Lord, we became his children, his people, holy, set apart, his watchmen, to speak his truth. And you and I will find incredible fulfillment. Because we will see people who will go from wicked to righteous because they hear the truth and they've been seeking that all their life. And maybe they needed us to be a little embarrassed and share that with them. Maybe that's all they needed. And they were ready. But how are you or am I going to know? Who cares if they get upset with you? You're speaking the truth that brings them life. They get upset with you. They're not angry with you anyways. They're angry with God. And you know what? God can handle it. He's got really big shoulders. We also don't need to defend him. We think we do sometimes. Oh, well, I have to explain why God allows suffering. No, I don't. I don't know why God allows suffering completely. I don't know his plans. I don't know why he does this or does that. We don't know, but we trust him. We trust that he is good. We trust that he is loving. There's some things he shared with us, and we can share that from his word. But don't get into these arguments. Pointless arguments. Arguments about origins, you know. It's ridiculous what some people believe today. But keep the laughter inside. When they say that they believe aliens came and seeded it, and that makes more sense than God creating everything. They say aliens came and seeded the earth, and that's where everything came from. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. I sit there with my mouth open going, and you think I'm crazy for believing in God? But we need to hold some of that in sometimes. And we need to keep loving him and praying with them and showing them and saying, hey, this is what the Word of God says. And giving them that choice. Don't say, this is what I believe. You can say that too, because I do believe it. But make that secondary. This is what the Word of God says. And I believe it. Because it's based on just what I think. Well, they think that, I think this. We can all think whatever we want, right? That's what we hear today. Oh, it's okay for you to follow what you believe, but I'm going to follow what I believe. And we should just all tolerate each other. Well, we should tolerate each other, but I don't have to tolerate ignorance. I'm not saying be, that's ignorant. No, but you speak the truth. You and I don't have to tolerate lies. We don't have to go along with it and say, yeah, it's okay. That's what I mean by tolerate. I don't mean being all argumentative. I just mean go along with it and say, yeah, you're right. You know, I have that. I've had to make that decision many times when somebody says to me, well, there's many ways to God, and they're trying to like just kind of, you know, mellow everything out. Well, you have your way of thinking. I have my... I said, yeah, but you know what? It says in Scripture, Yeshua, Jesus, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. You're not going to get out of this conversation by just saying it's all okay. You're going to hear the truth. Now, I don't have to say that offensively, right? But we need to say it. And I think after all of this, I think now we see Ezekiel, he's going to start speaking the word of God to the people without his own angst and emotions and anger getting in the way. It's not going to be blah, 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 blah. It's just going to be, this is what the Lord says. And they're going to say, we don't want to hear it. Shut your mouth, all their stuff. And he just keeps speaking the truth of God's word. That's what the Lord wants us to do. And there will be those who will hear and they will become part of the righteous. And there will be those who will deny it. They will reject it. And they will pay the price for that. But their blood will be on their own head, not on ours. It will be their own responsibility. But you know what? Later on in Ezekiel, we'll read it. It says, God does not delight in the death of the wicked. He does not take pleasure in it. It breaks his heart that people don't listen, that we don't listen. Even those of us who have, even those of us who say we believe and trust in him. The benefit of warning, save your soul. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you did not give him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning. Also, you will have delivered your soul. So, responsibility of the watchman to the righteous backslider. To warn them, once again. We have the responsibility to warn them. We have the responsibility to speak the truth about what is right and what is wrong according to Scripture to the body of Messiah today. This is a huge issue today. Because in the body of Messiah, we have people saying that sin is okay. Saying that somehow God has changed as far as his holiness standard is. And that somehow all these things are now, he's just going to wink at them and say they're okay. And they're not okay. And we need to warn those who have decided to trust in their own desires, their own ways, thinking they know better than God. We need to warn them. Because if we don't warn them, we will be held accountable as well. But once again, the job is just to speak the word of God, not to embellish, not to get in big arguments. There's times that we may have to disfellowship from some people. It says that in Scripture. The guy in 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians that was sinning really horribly, and the Corinthians were going, oh, but we're full of grace and mercy and love, and so we'll just keep fellowshipping with this guy. And Rav Shaul, Paul, the Apostle Paul, he's like, no, that's not okay. You need to turn him loose. You need to let him go out of your fellowship. You need to disfellowship him for the destruction of the flesh. And yet his soul, it said, will still be saved. He was still a believer, so he would still be with the Lord. But the enemy would get the opportunity to destroy him physically. But they were still, see, when he was in the fellowship, they were still praying for him. Oh, Lord, bless him, oh, Lord. We're not supposed to be saying, Lord, bless people who are intentionally going against him. Not bless them in their sin. Maybe bless them with repentance. You know, I love an elder said to me one time when I was going through that process of getting free from an addiction that I had for 10 years. And I say it was an addiction, but it was also my choice to remain in it. It wasn't just, I can't blame, oh, it was just an addiction. I can't blame Satan. I blame myself. It was my responsibility. But when he confronted me, one of the things he said is, I hope God will be mercifully unmerciful to your sin. Merciful to you, but unmerciful to your sin. not leave you alone, keep bugging you until you get that right with the Lord. That's what we need to be praying for each other. Should we be praying, that we not have holiness in the body? Because when we bless those who are choosing, I'm not saying you and I, we have moments that we sin and we get it right with the Lord and we confess it, we make it right. But I'm saying somebody who's saying, no, I'm okay, my sin's okay, this is all right. If I'm not going to bless that person, except to pray for them for repentance. Pray that God grabs a hold of their heart. I don't wish them harm. I don't want them to die. I definitely don't want them to die in that state. But I'm not going to sit there and go, Lord, oh, just keep blessing them. Bless them financially. Bless them in their job. Bless, and I think this is a huge problem we have today. We have people that come into a prayer meeting just so you will pray for all the stuff that's going wrong in their life and fix it all, that God will fix it all without any change, without any commitment to the Lord. Think about that for a second. Why doesn't God answer those prayers? Because he's looking at it going, hello, you want me to do all these good things for you, but you're not willing to submit to me. You have areas in your life that you're clearly sinning. And I'm talking about myself, too. I have areas in my life that I'm clearly sinning, and yet I'm asking God, oh, will you please bless this? Will you please bless that? Oh, please make sure this doesn't happen. No, the Lord wants us to be holy. Thank God he doesn't give us what we deserve. Thank God he doesn't. Thank God for his grace, for his mercy, for his patience. Thank you for your patience, too. I'm going a little over today. But thank God for his patience to warn them. The consequences of not warning them, he shall die. And here's a horrible one. His righteousness, which he has done, will not be remembered. Huh. Isn't that what happens, though? When something's exposed about somebody, think about some of the church evangelists and some of the ones from history, recent history. They had done a lot of good things. And all of a sudden, something comes out, and we find out that for years they've been doing this or doing that. And what happens? You don't even think of all that good stuff that they did before that. All anybody's thinking about is all the nasty stuff they've been doing. And it's so destructive to the family of God. It's destructive because there's people that have come through their ministry, have received the Lord, and they're starting to grow, and all of a sudden everything comes out from under them. This is the kind of stuff that doesn't just happen overnight. That happens because there is no accountability in some cases, and also that happens because little by little there's a compromise here and a compromise there and a compromise there, and pretty soon sin is in control and the Holy Spirit isn't in control anymore. And that's what you and I have to guard against. Not allowing those little compromises, a compromise here, a compromise here. I'm okay. I'm okay. No, I'm not okay. I'm filthy. I'm wicked. I need him. He's the only one that's okay. He's the only one that's righteous. He's the only one that can make me holy. I can't make myself holy. And you can't either. And so we need to have that attitude when we warn. We're warning ourselves just as much as we're warning them. His righteousness, which he has done, will not be remembered. And he says, his blood I will require at your hand because you didn't warn him. Benefits of warning them. He will live. And you will save your soul. And finally, a warning to all watchmen. Because remember, in case you thought you were getting out of it, and oh, well, this is mostly just for the pastor today, not for me, because I'm not a watchman. Yes, you are. We are all watchmen. Remember, my brethren, James 3:1, let not many of you become teachers. Remember, one of the words for watchmen was a teacher. Knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. And yes, Those who have been called specifically to be watchmen, to be teachers, we are held to a higher standard. We will be held accountable. But all of us will be held accountable for the opportunities that we have, that we had, that maybe you still have, the opportunity to share the truth with someone, but you let it go by. Or worse, you even say the opposite. You agree with a lie. Let's not be doing that. Let's be sharing the truth of the good news of the gospel. And before we get all angry on election day with whatever happens, or all happy, either one, before we get all excited or angry or whatever, let's remember, we're not electing Jesus, Yeshua. He's already king, and he will rule and reign over this earth. And we are his children. We don't belong to any of these people. We belong to him. We may agree with one more than the other. That's great. And that's why I would encourage everybody to get out and vote. And vote for what God puts on your heart, who God puts on your heart to vote for. And yet, this is not my home. This is not where I'm staying for all eternity. This is not where my hope lies. My hope lies in the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word this morning, and I pray it will go deep into our heart. And Lord, we may not come away from this feeling all nice and cozy and good, and that's good, because we have a task to do. You have called us, Lord, to be watchmen in our culture, in our generation. You have called us to be watchmen. Some you have specifically called to specific things. Doesn't mean we don't have responsibility for others as well, but Lord, some that have maybe not been called yet specifically, but you have called all of us generally because we are your children. We are a kingdom of priests and kings that we may show forth the glory of him who brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's what it says for each one of us, that we may show forth the glory of your glory. And that glory comes with a weight. It comes with a great responsibility that we don't have to carry on our own. We can't carry on our own. But Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we can speak your words. By the power of your Holy Spirit, we cannot be afraid of those who don't want to hear. And we can continue to speak your truth, even if we're not liked, even if bad things are said about us, even if bad things are said about you. We can continue to speak truth of your word that you give us by your Holy Spirit. Anoint our lips and our mouths. Anoint our ears to hear your word. Anoint our lips and our mouths and our thoughts to speak your truth. And Lord, help us not to embellish it, but to just speak your word. And Lord, fill our hearts with your love and your compassion for this generation. Lord, we don't want blessing on the wicked, but we do pray for repentance. Because repentance will bring blessing. We don't want blessing on those within the body who are consciously, willingly sinning against you. But we want repentance because repentance will bring blessing for them and for us. Because you are bringing your body and making it one. You are going to have a pure and spotless bride when you return. You have called us as watchmen to be a part of seeing that happen. So Lord, encourage us this morning. Fill our hearts with your peace and with your joy as we go out to be those watchmen you've called us to be. In Yeshua's name, amen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Amen. Really pretty. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. Amen. And finally, Yivarech Adonai Vayishmarecha Ya'er Adonai Panav Elecha Vehunecha Yisa Adonai Panav Elecha Yisem Lecha Shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar HaShalom, in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat Shalom.